I'm a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cue It Up podcast. I am excited to be joined by Demetrius Gelatis today. Demetrius, how are you doing?
Never better.
Never better. That's a good answer. So we are bringing on Demetrius today to not only talk about his entire career in pool as a pro pool player, but he also has some big, crazy aspirations of a more involved future in pool that I'm going to try and talk him out of by the end of this podcast. But who knows? He seems pretty focused on it. So we'll see what I can get to him. How does that sound, Demetrius?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, so well, first off, let's start out with your actual pro career, because you have been playing professional pool now for a couple years. You are just at the Turning Stone this past weekend. You are going to be in Derby City coming up in, I guess, what, 9 days? So
Yep.
How often do you actually travel around to events, and what is some of your favorite events to go to every year?
So I hesitate at this point. You know, a pro and pool is definitely a blurry boundary, as we all know. But I definitely participate in the pro events, and you know, I don't always lose. So. But I normally it's ebbed throughout my life. But the last few years, I've really worked hard to make room for pool in my life, because we've only got so much time. So right now, I am at a spot where I've committed to 4 major tournaments a year, and then a number of kind of middle tournaments. So like the way I break them down for myself is that a major tournament to me is something where I have to take some, you know, airplane tickets and 9-foot pool tables with international players. So, like, for example, Derby City is, I consider that a major. Or, you know, if I went to, like, the U.S. Open Invitational or things like that. Like, those are major tournaments. And then I also play a number of, you know, regional tournaments where, you know, maybe tournaments like the 9-ball, you know, tour in Olathe, where they have the one pocket and the bar table 9-ball. Or, you know, tournaments that maybe are in Beloit. You know, they have good events there with pretty good draws, top players. So my goal is, you know, I have a limited amount of time to go play, but if I can play 4 majors a year and then fill in the rest with some regional stuff like that, you know, try to hit a total of 8 to 10 good tournaments with top players a year is kind of my goal.
So which are those 4 for this coming year? Did you consider Turning Stone one, or is Derby going to be your first one this year?
Yeah, it's a, you know, that was just a general guideline. I guess I would consider Turning Stone a major in the sense that, I mean, it's getting more international every year. I played it in 2018, and just in the last year and a half, the amount of international players has really increased. And so I guess I would consider that a major, you know, 4-day tournament involved airfare. So for me, I would consider that one. Yes, I'm going to Derby, and that's definitely looking forward to that. But then I think I'm going to play, this is not finalized yet, but I believe I'm going to go to the pro event at the Super Billiard Expo in Philadelphia in April. And then I haven't finalized, you know, which tournaments I'm going to be playing the second half of the year. But you know, if I can knock out 3 good sized tournaments in the first, you know, just past the first quarter, I should be well ahead of my pace. So I expect it's going to be a good pool year.
Good. It's always, hopefully maybe I'll see you down at the Carom Room for this Spring Classic there at the end of April. Maybe that'll be a thing.
My buddy just texted me about that, and I saw that. I haven't checked my calendar yet to see if it works, but that's that's great. I mean, 4 hours for me, it's, I'm only 4 hours away. Well, depending on who's driving. I definitely love the Carom Room. They've done a great job promoting pool and really taking a pool hall that I didn't even know about, you know, 15 years ago, and turning it into a huge stop for you know, pool on the national level. So pretty amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, the Carom Room in Beloit may be one of, if not the biggest pool room actually in the upper Midwest at this point. I don't know of too many others that would compete with it as far as the amount of pro events and the amount of just money that goes through that place.
Yeah, I never thought I'd move to Beloit, but I'll tell you. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So going back to your original answer for this, you said you were kind of you were devoting your heart a little bit more to pool in the coming years, and you've kind of made a conscious decision that you want to do that. One of those choices are actually kind of the reason that I'm bringing you on today, which is you are going to start dedicating your time in the future to more full-time coaching instead of your actual work itself, which we're gonna this is where I'm trying to talk you out of this kind of, because you have a very successful career right now. It's not like you're scraping by to grind out a living in your normal career. You do very well for yourself, but you want to give that up for kind of to be a pool instructor. So how did that decision come about? And I guess, when are we looking at for a timetable for when this can all go down?
Yeah. So it's actually, you know, the decision really isn't up to me. The decision is up to the pool playing nation, because there's a, you know, I used to dabble a little bit with poker, and I say that, you know, I'm not a top poker player by any stretch, but you know, I've put a lot of time and work in the game, because of course, after the poker boom, everybody started having dreams about switching to a game that, you know, where money grew on trees. But there was a question that would always come up on the poker communities. And that question is, when should I go pro? When should I quit my job and go pro? You know, there's this big, you know, and everybody looks at it the wrong way, because they're always looking at it in terms of how good they play or, you know, what they can win. And it's like, really, the answer was pretty simple. The answer is, when it's costing you money to go to work, that's when you need to play full time, right? You know, if you're not, if you need to ask the question, you're probably not ready yet. But when it gets to the point where you're bringing in so much money, and whether it's cash games or multi-table tournaments, if you're consistently, if you've got a long history of playing poker and you know what your hourly is, and it's been established through, you know, ups and downs in the economy and in, you know, gaming laws and different environments, and you just look at your track record and you look at your bankroll and you're like, hey, I'm bankrolled to handle variance. I've got a strong track record. I know what I can make. And I know that if I have more time to devote to the game, I can extrapolate what that's going to bring in terms of additional income. Therefore, it doesn't make sense for me to go to this job anymore, because I need to be doing what I enjoy and what's more rewarding. Right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. But that brings me back to begging the question of, are you going to be making more from the pool? And I'm not asking you to actually answer that, but there is a sense of fulfillment that you get from the work that you do, which you kind of hinted at towards the end of that. Does that factor into your decision to kind of do this?
Well, for sure. There's no doubt. But, you know, so I'll come right back to that. I think the answer then, when I said it was up to the pool playing nation, is that, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about how I got into this, what I'm doing, and the response. But I'll tell you right now that the response I've gotten has been surprising to me in positive ways. And so I guess the point is that if the pool playing nation and if the players that are working with me find value and spread word, and people are, you know, more and more people are interested in working with me, then what's going to happen is, you know, I'm either going to have to turn people away because I don't have time, or I'm going to have to raise prices prohibitively. And both of those are distasteful to me, because the whole point is helping as many people as I can and doing it affordably, because we're all pool players. And so would I be willing? Yeah. So absolutely. If things grow the way that they look like they are growing, then there will be a point at which I say, hey, you know what? I'm booked out a few months. I don't want to turn away customers. And I think that based on what I could add to my bottom line by having more time to devote to this and scheduling more boot camps and doing more of this, then of course there'll be a time at which I have some decisions to make. It would be exciting if it went that way. It looks like it might be going that way. And so that's great. But in the end, what I will tell you is that there isn't going to, you know, of course there's a lot of fulfillment I get from being involved with pool. So I would be willing to, you know, to take some financial setbacks, to do something I love to do. That's really profound to and life-changing to a lot of pool players and life-changing to me. So yes, I'd be willing to do that. But of course, it has to be something where, you know, I'd be able to fend for my family. It would have to be something to where there's enough demand. One thing I'll tell you, Nate, is that there has to be the demand for it, because I'm not going to be out there, you know, soliciting people, talking people into the lessons that they don't actually need, or taking money from people that I'm not actually benefiting. Like, that's not, that's not going to work in my model. So I'm focused on helping as many people as I can and providing real changes to their game. And then if I demonstrate enough value to enough people that that they're knocking down my door, then of course there's going to be a point at which I say, great, then let's just do this. And looks like that's the direction it's going.
I think that analogy of knocking down your door is kind of unique because we can give a shout out to Aaron Taylor. Aaron Taylor actually turned me on to the work that you did because he came to one of your, I don't know if you want to call them boot camps or what you, I'm not sure what you want to call those. So I'll let you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm calling them, is boot camps. Yes.
Okay. So your boot camps are kind of unique because Aaron Taylor flies in from California and then stays with you in your actual home, and you work with him basically from sun up to sundown on his game, every single aspect of his game. And that's how you plan to work with your students, if I can call them students, going forward? Or how are you unique in this kind of sense of, I guess, kind of the rest of the marketplace that you have?
Yeah. So, and this is a good time, I should definitely mention. So my website is MN for Minnesota, poolbootcamp.com. So again, mnpoolbootcamp.com. And on that website, it has a lot of information about our schedules and actually what a typical day looks like. So check out my frequently asked questions there. But yeah, that is right now the format that I enjoy and that seems to be the most beneficial. And it's one that I probably intend to stick with. Of course, you can't predict how things might evolve and things improve. I'm always open to finding ways to improve. But the 3-day boot camp, it really has been, it's made a big difference. And so I'll tell you where this came from. My best friend, Josh Burble, he and I have been playing pool together for well over 10 years. And somewhere along the line, you know, we'd get together and we'd practice and we'd drill and we'd compete and we'd spar. We'd go to tournaments together, just like I think a lot of road partners do. But we always wished we had more time, and we always wished that we were less interrupted, because it always seemed like, you know, one of us had to run, or, you know, how many hours do we have? And, oh, I gotta go get dinner. So I had the idea a few years ago. I'm like, hey, we go to these tournaments, you know, we probably go to 10 tournaments a year, where we're taking the entire weekend and driving to a pool tournament and spending $1,000 in airfare and entry fee or food and gas. And at the end of it, you know, I'm like, we can always find time. Like, we both have jobs, we both have families, but we 10 times a year, we have time to go to a pool tournament and we have the money to spend. So how come we never take one of those weekends and just boot camp, just practice? And it was kind of a crazy idea, but I'm like, why don't we take 3 days and leave town, stay in a hotel, and just live in a pool hall and just in the back corner, just, you know, have organized practice drills and have a game plan, of course, you know. And so we kind of came up with this idea. And why out of town? Why not just practice here at our hometown? Well, we wanted to get away, just block out the mundane, block out our routine, go to a pool hall, you know. And actually, we went to Fargo Billiards. Mike Page has a beautiful room up there, and he treats us like royalty. So we went up to Fargo Billiards. We got a table in the back. And the coolest part about this was that we planned this out a month ahead of time. So what do you think that does? The whole month before that boot camp, we're brainstorming ideas of how we want to spend our 3 days and what we think we're at with our games and what our priorities are and what some drills are that would really target those things and what we can do to push each other. And, you know, because when you practice in a pair, boy, you trust me, no matter how hard somebody practices on their own, two people can push each other in a way that's just phenomenal. And so we'd map it all out. And then what would happen is we'd get a month's worth of engagement out of it beforehand, because we'd be so excited about doing this that we'd be practicing more and thinking about our games. And, you know, even if we'd canceled the boot camp and didn't go, just planning it out and thinking about it for a month was worth it by itself. But then what we do is we get up there, and man, if you've never done this, and, you know, it's just a treat. It's like you get to live it, because what happens is, you know, none of us are full-time players, right? And you get to watch these guys that travel the world and just get to work on their games. It's, man, I wish I could do that. It's like, well, why not do that for 3 days? You know, maybe you can't do it for your life, but why not live it for 3 days? And so we go up there and we live it for 3 days, and we would work really, really hard. And we'd push each other way past what we've ever, you know, done on our own or even in our little practice sessions. And it was just tremendously, tremendously fun and rewarding. You know, people talk about like coming back from a fishing trip and how refreshed they feel. Like, it was probably one of the best trips we've ever taken. And then there's shots that we learned and shots that we worked on that went way deeper than what we would have done, you know, just in a 3-hour practice session. And so to this day, there are shots that come up in a tournament where I just smile and I'm like, yeah, I got this one mastered at Fargo Billiards. And it's really cool. And so that, those little pilgrimages that I would take with Josh up to Fargo Billiards, that became a regular thing. We started doing that every couple of years. And so that was where I guess the idea of a 3-day boot camp kind of originated. This is something that I was doing for myself.
Well, it sounds like you have almost like a vacation style buddies retreat where you really just look at this almost as a vacation, but to better your game. Is that kind of the atmosphere that you want to create for anybody who partakes in this?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, for anybody that does this type of thing, has a lot in common with me, which is that they are absolutely passionate about the game. They love the game. And 3 days of being able to devote, I mean, to be able to devote 3 days to just dive as deep as you can go into a game and work with a top player that will hold your hand and guide the way. It's of course, the top priority is that I want my students to leave better than they came here. I want them to have a more clear picture of what they're going to do when they get home as far as the steps they can take on their own. And I can get more into that, I guess, in a little bit. But it should also be one of the most memorable times in their life. And that's so this is not a vacation. I mean, this is not some timeshare thing. This is all about pool training and showing results, but it's tremendously rewarding. And I love doing them. And to this time, every time somebody calls me and wants to schedule a 3-day, I get chills because I'm like, man, this is about as good as life gets. So, yeah,
for sure. So we have some backstory as to how you actually came up with the ideas of this, but the whole implementation of it is an entirely different beast. How did you actually start getting to the point where you wanted to actually implement this?
Oh, as far as, yeah, making this available to others and kind of getting an instruction. I'll tell you, it's a funny story, and it happened. It was a total 180 for me, because if you had asked me a year ago, hey, do you give lessons? And by the way, I fielded this question, I don't know if it was once a tournament or once a weekend or once a month, but it was, I don't know if it was 10 times a year or 50 times a year that I got asked, hey, do you give lessons? But my answer was always the same, which is nope. Sorry. You know, I don't do lessons. I just play, you know, but I mean, if we're at a pool hall together and you're hitting balls, I'd be happy to, you know, hit a rack or two of balls with you. If you have a question, I can answer. I mean, you know, we're all in this together, right? We're all sharing the road. I'm always willing to do what I can to help, but I wasn't really interested in lessons. And the reason for that is, number one, I just wanted to focus on developing my game as a player. But number two, I looked at kind of a lot of lessons that I'd seen. And I guess, you know, the way I felt is that they're good for beginners, you know, people that need to learn how to stand and bridge and hold a cue and things. But that at some point, you know, maybe the basics of cue ball control, but that at some point, you know, for more advanced players, and it just seems like, you know, it was always seemed a little short to me. Like people would get a couple of tips, or maybe a, hey, do this with your arm, or maybe you should try shooting this shot that way. And they'd get a couple of tips, and then, you know, for an hour or two, and they get a little pat on the back and say, all right, good luck, here's a drill to do. And I always kind of felt like that wasn't like that. I don't want to say it wasn't useful, because I know some instructors that have done a great job helping a lot of people. It wasn't for me. I'm like, I don't want to spend an hour or two telling, you know, giving a guy a pointer. Like, that's not interesting to me. So I'm better off just, you know, I'm an all-in kind of guy. I didn't get a pointer or two. I devoted my life to this game, and I know the kind of practice and work it takes. And so that's what I'm interested in. And I'm not looking for people that are like, you know, half engaged, you know, players that, you know, play recreationally that don't take pool seriously. We need them in the pool game. It's just, I'm not interested in giving pointers to recreational players. But then, so then I had a fairly transformative experience with a friend of mine. And I wasn't as close with him. I knew who he was. I'd seen him at a million pool tournaments, right? But he asked me the same question. He's like, hey, would you ever work with me on my game? Do you give lessons? And I was like, listen, no, I gave him my standard thing, right? I don't give lessons, but I'm like, tell you what, why don't you come over to my house sometime? We'll hit balls for a few hours. And if there's anything I can do to help you, I'll do it. So he came over to my house. We hit balls for a few hours. And I worked with him a little bit, and I showed him some stuff that, I mean, I just, it's funny. I'll tell you, I look at somebody's pool game and I just know exactly what they need. I'm like, okay, here's what you need. Here's how you do it. I'm not going to get into the specifics with him, but it was really, really clear. It just jumps off the page. I'm like, oh, this is what you need. Here's the picture of what it should look like. Here's what you're doing. Here's the difference. Let's practice that a few times. There you go. Have fun. And he left. And I'll tell you what, I was really mixed, because on the one hand, I know that I'd given him maybe the best jump start. You know, he's been kind of plateaued out for a number of years. And I felt like what I showed him in just a couple hours was exactly what he needed. But at the same time, what happened is, Nate, over the next couple days, all I could do was think about what else I would have done if I'd had more time, and what I would have shown him, and what I'd like to have worked on him with. And I saw in my mind a bunch of things that I would have liked to have spent time with him on. And then I kind of shrugged, because I'm like, well, you know, I like the guy, but, you know, I can't just have the guy come over 3 hours a night for the next 2 weeks and just devote my life to helping this guy. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I'm like, no. So I'm like, you know, too bad. And but then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, in the beginning, he didn't ask me to do anything as a favor. Like, he offered me money. And like, the guy's, you know, he's a W-2 employee. He makes, you know, he's a professional. He makes decent money. And he offered to pay, and I turned him down. And something occurred to me, Nate, and that is that doing him a favor might not have been doing him a favor, because by saying, no, I don't want your money, I'll do this for free, then what he got was a couple hours of my time. And it occurred to me that if I told him, hey, I have a really clear vision of what I can do to transform you as a pool player, it'll take a few days, and I have to charge for that, but here's what I'll give you, and here's what I can do for you, he would have rather paid me and gotten everything I had to give than gotten a freebie on a couple pointers. And so, even though they were right on the money. And so, and I started thinking about it. I'm like, man, if I was a business owner and I had a very successful company, would I want a web guy that did my website as a favor? Where every time I needed to make a change, he was like, well, I'll get to it on the weekend. I'm a little busy. I'm fishing. And I was like, no, I'm not somebody that's like Johnny on the spot. Like, I've got a pro IT guru that's with a big company that's like delivering state-of-the-art service and technology, and at my disposal. That's what I'd want. And I'm like, you know, it occurred to me that there's a need where, you know, we can either do things cheap and have somebody just give us a few pointers or, you know, whatever. Or you could say, look, for people that really want a full service transformative experience, I can't do that as a favor. But I think there's a market here for people that actually want the full service.
I think that is, well, let's put it this way. I just had like a couple of eureka moments. Like, I'll just keep to myself, but that makes sense to me. Especially the part where, like, I know that if I wanted to have work on my game, I want to have it from somebody who's has the same amount of passion and dedication to improving my game that I have for myself. And I don't know that you get that out of a 2-hour lesson.
Yeah, I think everyone means well, but there's a limit, right? There's a limit to what you can do. And there's so many people. I mean, I get to meet so many people that I'd love to help. I'm, you know, I have a daughter who's in the youth leagues, and so I know all the kids, and I'd love to help all the kids. And then I know some of their parents that are very passionate about pool, and I'd love to work with them. And it's like everywhere I go at tournaments, I see people, and I'd love to just help everybody. But, you know, of course, what ends up happening is I say, well, I can't help the world, so I go home and do nothing. And I'm like, no, you know, my dad always told me the road to hell is paved with good intention. And so I'm like, you know what? I can't do this as a favor because I can't devote, you know, days and days of, you know, time to people all over the place just as a favor, but I can keep it really affordable and I can over deliver. So one thing I'll do is, you know, you can go to my pricing on my website. You'll see I'm very, very, very affordable considering the time I'm putting in. And and I make it a goal, Nate, to where the people that leave my place tell me the same thing, which is, you know, you're worth, and I'm, and now this varies whether they say I'm worth twice what I'm charging, or they would have, or I'm worth way more than I'm charging. But, you know, what do they say on The Color of Money? Nobody ever asked me for a refund, honey. You know, I make sure that they walk out of here with, you know, way, way, way more than what they paid for, because that's as close to a favor as I can do while still compensating myself for the time I'm putting in and keeping the possibility alive of me helping other people.
For sure. So we have kind of the backstory as to how it started, why it started, without actually giving us all the nitty gritty details of what goes on in the 3 days that consist of basically 24 hours of instruction. What do some of those 3 days actually look like as far as the training that you send your customers through?
Yeah, so this is a fun one, and it's, you'd think it would be tricky to make the balance, to manage the balance I'm about to explain, but so far it has been nothing but natural. And that balance is, you have to have a certain amount of preparatory material, because if somebody showed up and you had no idea what to do with somebody and they're just like, yep, then you'd be like, well, we got 3 days. I guess I better come up with something. And that wouldn't work. But on the other hand, if you have 3 days of prepared coursework, then you're not really customizing it necessarily to the person you're talking to. And so there are other places where people go in groups, you know, groups of five, groups of 10, different pool schools. And some of them are very, very good. But what I do is I do one-on-one. And I do one-on-one because I hit the spot. I mean, so what I do is at the beginning of every 3 day, I do an assessment where I have my student go through a variety of different drills, whether it's playing a practice set or playing against a ghost or just watching how they, you know, I'll set up different situations and just kind of have them play through a little bit. Doesn't matter. I mean, listen, one thing about me is I can clock a player without even seeing him play. I can talk to somebody on the phone for 20 minutes or 10 minutes. And just the way that they speak to me and the way that they talk about the game, I already know how good they play, and I know what style they play, and I know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Not even with them telling me that, even if we're just talking about some pro match we watched the other day, because I can hear their attitudes about different ideas and different shots and how they look at the game. And I just know what that translates to on the table because I've played enough players and I've seen it. So anyway, I already have an idea of what I think they might play like. I ask them to tell me what they think their strengths and weaknesses and what they want to work on and what they think their road ahead looks like. But then I also have a play a little bit and I confirm what I think, or I change, you know, adjust what I think. And I look at their play and I say, okay, here's what I think we need to do. And I actually use an assessment that I'll tell you about. It's pretty cool. I have a way, Nate, of breaking down the game that I think might be valuable to others that are listening. So the way I do my assessment is I have a little chart and it breaks pool down into a very finite number of, you know, tangible skills. So I break the pool game down as follows. You've got first division I use as mental and physical. But then among the physical, I've got fundamentals, you know, stroke, stance, grip, things, you know, all that kind of stuff. Eye patterns, pre-shot routine, anything that's fundamentals goes under the fundamental bucket. But then I've got what I call gameplay, which is actually like, you know, what you actually do with those fundamentals. And so gameplay, I think this is very important. I break gameplay down into two categories: generating opportunities and converting on opportunities. And so, you know, for example, if you're playing nine ball, you don't just, you know, if you're playing the ghost, you get to break the balls and take cue ball in hand, and then you just try to run out. So you start with an opportunity to score. But when you're playing a match, you have to earn that opportunity. This isn't golf where everybody gets the same number of shots. You might not make a ball on the break, and then they might run a bunch of racks and play a safe, and you kick and miss, and you never get to the table. And so you have to earn your opportunities in pool. And so when it comes to generating scoring opportunities, things that you have to do well to give yourself at-bats are things like the break shot, safety play, kicking, jumping, and then potentially even shot making. Because just because you have a hard, long shot, you're not really in control of the table yet. You don't really have a scoring opportunity until you make that first hard shot and wrestle control of the table. But then once you've made that hard shot, you know, you've kicked out of their safety, and then you've had a shot, and then you've played a safety, and then they've kicked and hit the ball and left you tough, and you've come with that hard shot. Now you're sitting on the two ball, and you're in control. Now it's about converting on that opportunity and running the table. And I've broken down converting into three categories, which is one, shot making, two, cue ball control, and three, pattern play. And cue ball control and pattern play aren't the same thing. Cue ball control is successfully sending the cue ball where you're looking. Pattern play is choosing the right path through the balls to make, you know, the planning, I guess, part of it. And so, and what I find interesting about that particular tripod, cue ball control, pattern play, and shot making, is that each part of that tripod takes pressure off the other pieces. So if you're a very good shot maker, then that takes pressure off your cue ball control and your pattern play, because now you can accept a pattern where you don't have to come up and play this ball on the side. You can cinch the ball, cinch the shape, and play it in the corner. And so it takes pressure off your pattern play, and it takes pressure off your cue ball control, because it gives you a bigger margin of error you can hit and still feel confident about your run continuing. And meanwhile, if you choose good patterns, clearly that takes pressure off your cue ball control. And if you play accurate cue ball, obviously that takes pressure off your shot making. So each of those pieces exponentially impacts your runout percentages. It's just crazy. And so what I like to do, so that's how I break down the game. Physical, mental. Physical is you got your fundamentals and you got your gameplay. And then under gameplay, you've got generating scoring opportunities and converting on scoring opportunities. And I think that's a very practical way of doing an assessment as to, hey, where do I need to improve to actually, you know, see my results pick up? So what do you think about that?
So I'm in a sense kind of where you were maybe 3 or 4 years about 3 or 4 years ago, where I do some coaching opportunities, but I don't charge for them, because I kind of like you, I like to just give tips. One of the things that I give my tips is incorporating analytics into your running out. So actually using the individual's characteristics towards cue ball control, their pattern play, and then their shot making, exactly like you break it down, and then optimizing the actual analytics of each individual shot and playing positioning to your next shot to where you can actually optimize your runouts. And that sounds like that's basically exactly what you're kind of doing, but maybe I'm looking at it from a slightly more mathematical side. But I guess all of that to say is I think that that is the best way to actually teach pool to somebody who is trying to learn a very advanced version of the game. So I think it's genius.
Well, thank you. you as well. And so, yeah, and what I like about that, and I understand metric flow through, and absolutely, it's, you know, I come from a business background on the metrics and things. But what I'll say is I don't think that's a bad idea. And if I had, you know, enough hours of tape, I'd be interested in getting a breakdown of what my kick percentage was and my safety percentage and my balls pocketed compared to like other players. Because, and so I'll get into kind of why I brought all that up, is it has to do with how I do my assessment. It gives me a roadmap where I can say, hey, here's what I think are your strengths. These are the things you're using to get to the level you are. And then here's the areas where I see leaks that are keeping you from using your strengths to get even better. And so I usually draw up a pie chart and say, at this moment, I would say, you know, 30% here, 40% there, 10% here and here, you know, whatever. And I'll kind of say, here's the priorities I think that we should spend time on. And then here's how I think we should weight those. And it's, I think that's really, really important, because a lot of people are not, you know, they put in a lot of effort, you know, they put in all this, you know, they're pedaling and pedaling and pedaling, but they're not really going very far. But I feel like if you have the right picture in your mind and the right priorities of what to actually target, and then an effective way of targeting them, that's how you make progress. And then as we go through this boot camp, you know, every few hours, I'm referring back to that pie chart and asking, are the things we did do you feel that we're making progress in the areas we selected? Then, of course, we fine-tune things. So after 4 hours, we might realize that we want to make some adjustments and add something in, or, you know, whatever. And we can do that, but we do it very, very deliberately. Like, I'm a big believer in being very strategic with your time. We don't just sit around and you know, hammer balls in the hole for 8 hours. We're very, very careful that we're steering and we're purposeful with our time. I'll also tell you, I try to alternate between drills or practices or learning things. I shouldn't even say drills because I do all kinds of things, but I alternate between things that are physically exhausting and mentally exhausting. So if I have them shooting a certain layout or a certain shot again and again and again, then I might switch to something that involves more planning and decision making, and things like that. So I make sure that we take, you know, not frequent breaks, but every hour or so. We usually do like hour blocks where I'll have them doing something for an hour, and then we'll take a fiver, and then we'll do something else for an hour that's, you know, using a different muscle group, if you will. And then, you know, we have some lunch breaks and dinner breaks, but I'm not going to pretend. I mean, it's pretty much just push each other beyond what you thought you could do all day. But I try to pace it, and we try to make it. And I'll tell you, each hour counts. We make each hour count. So that's kind of a day in the life at a high level.
That absolutely sounds like it would be incredibly rewarding. Did you want to talk about your pricings at all and your different package options if anybody was to be interested?
Absolutely. Right now, the primary package that I put together was a 3-day pool boot camp. I schedule that, by the way. I'm fairly flexible. I try to figure out, you know, usually weekends are ideal. However, I have a job where I get a certain amount of time off from work. And so if I need to schedule it during a week or whatever, at this point, I've been pretty accommodating to try to make that work. And it's all inclusive. So I pick people up at the airport, bring them to my house. I have a guest room with a nice bed, sink. They have, you know, everything they need, a cooler full of, you know, whatever beverage they need. And then, so they have, I provide food and lodging, I provide meals, you know, feed them, you know, we have good, you know, whatever they need. We talk about menu ahead of time. So if they're not, you know, showing up and I've got like baked salmon or something and they don't want that. So we kind of work out, I make sure that they're good with my menu. I make sure that we're good with our, you know, coffee and bottled water and whatever. So it's all inclusive. And then right now, and this is, of course, subject to change. And I'm actually thinking about making some adjustments. But at this time, I'm doing that for $1,500. So, you know, they buy the airfare. So if they're coming from out of state, you know, they might be in for, you know, $300, $400 in travel, I suppose. But that way, they're going to be under $2,000 for this whole thing. And that's, you know, I've looked at what other people charge. Well, first of all, there's not much else like this around. I don't know anybody that's doing anything exactly like I'm doing, but the people that are doing anything close, it's not only higher, it's more than double that. And so I feel like that's very, very low. And at some point I was, you know, that might have to increase, but right now I'm not doing this full time. And so I wanted to find the lowest number I could that I could still justify doing the time. So, and then I also have, I have options, you know. I also have a lot of local people that are contacting me, and the reason, one of the reasons for the 3 days, I should mention, is, I mean, if somebody's going to fly in, they're not going to fly in for, you know, a 4-hour lesson, right? So that's why I wanted to make sure that, hey, we're getting our bang for our buck. And I will tell you, there's a lot about the 3-day that I would encourage people to do. So I have the 1 day for my local students. If people want to come in and work with me for 1 day, then we just do it, you know, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we basically jam for, you know, not 12 hours because we got to eat somewhere, but we try to come as close as we can. And for that, I'm doing $600. What I would say is I really like the 3 days. And so even for local students that, you know, this has been my only paying, and maybe something I'll have to think about, is that I have people that are within driving distance that they're like, oh, you know, let's just do a 1 day for now. And we could always do another one. And I'm like, yeah, we can. And so far I don't have any regrets. The 1 days I've done, you know, everybody's delighted with what we do and what we can accomplish in 1 day. But I'll tell you, I'll use an example. I had a guy come out, you know, last month and do a 3-day, and I can already tell you that what we did on day one was really, really, really amazing. And, but then what happened is he went to bed and I went to bed and I actually invented stuff in my sleep to isolate and help explain and show him some things that he would need the second day. And then it's like, we did not run out of stuff to do. We actually got deeper and got even more accurate on what we were doing and how it was coming through. And I think some of his biggest breakthroughs came on days two and three. And we ended up almost wishing we had more time, but yet totally satisfied that we were able to get as deep as we did. And I know that some of the stuff that we got to, if I had been on a one day, we just wouldn't have had time for it. So I'm mixed. I really, really, really believe in the 3 days. I think that's what I built this for. And then I offer the 1 days because I don't want to turn people down that aren't ready for that, you know?
Yeah. No, it definitely, like, kind of how you said earlier, there's no like roadmap that you're going down, but there's definitely for some infrastructure in place that you try to follow along with the flexibility of still being able to uniquely create a program for the individual person you're working with. 3 days definitely, I would think, allows for more of that flexibility than something like only a 1 day, because it takes you a little while to find out the correct way to teach the student that you're working with. So that definitely makes sense.
Well, and one other thing I'll add, and this is actually something I wanted to mention earlier, it came back to me now, is that one of the differences is I'm not giving them a tip or a recommendation and wishing them well and sending them back home. One of the cool parts about this is that we get to do this together. So I kind of compare this to like one of my pet peeves is when I go into a store and, you know, I ask, hey, do you know where the blah, blah, blah is? You know, where I come from, what they're supposed to do, what I grew up was you put down what you're doing. If you're the employee, you put down what you're doing and you say, I'd be happy to show you. And you take them and you lead them and you make sure that you put that product in their hand. What you don't do is you don't just kind of look over and be like, yeah, it's aisle 27. It was over there on the other side of the store. You know, it's by the widget machine. It's like, yeah, that's thanks. Oh, I guess I'll wander on that side of the store and hope I get lucky and find one. and that anyway. So that's a little, you know, customer service pet peeve. So I kind of look at lessons a little bit the same way. Like, what I don't want to do is give somebody something that I like. Tell them something or show them something that I know is going to be profoundly impactful but what do they have to do? They're not just going to look at that and be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I know how to incorporate that in my game. What they're going to do is it's not going to seem as important to them as it really is. And they're not going to apply it right. And they're not going to get anything out of it and they're not going to do it. And so, I mean, some of these things I've had to like butt heads a little bit with people because not often, but there's times when people, they just don't see. They don't see it. And there's a reason they don't see it. If they saw it, they wouldn't play it that way. So if somebody's playing a shot incorrectly, or if they have, whether it's incorrect fundamentals or if they're making incorrect pattern decisions, you know, it's not because they understand it and they're choosing to do it wrong. They just either they lack the tools that they need or they're not comfortable with shooting shots that way. And so but in their mind, they're right because they only see things from what they know how to do. And frankly, they are right. If you only have those tools in your toolbox, you're probably playing it the right way. But what I'm saying is there's maybe other tools that you can add to your toolbox that open up a higher level of performance. And so sometimes people don't see that until you really find ways to show them that. And then, so the point is this, is that I don't just say, okay, so practice these. I have to show it to them so that they understand it, but then I do it side by side with them and I have them doing it. And I find ways. We're actually doing this together. That's where it's not a lesson. It's a boot camp. Like, I'm not just telling you, here's how you do it. You're going to do it with me. And after today, we might come back and revisit it tomorrow and use that as our warm up to show that you still have that skill mastered and you're getting more comfortable with it. So when you leave, you're not only just going to have a bunch of information, you are going to have a different pool game. That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's
so that's where that 3 day really, really, really comes in. Is that one day I can provide a lot of information and get people started on the right direction. And that there's a place for that. And I'll tell you in a minute, I'll tell you who I think the 1 days are great for. But I think for serious improvement, you know, if people are passionate about the game and they really want to go home as a different pool player, I like the 3 days.
For sure. Did you want to give your one day?
Oh, yeah. So one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, originally I'd planned on working with more advanced students, people that were, you know, good local players, master level players. And, you know, there's been a huge, it's tough. You know, pool has a learning curve where you can get so good and then it gets really, really, really difficult to get much better. And so I'm all about breaking through plateaus through focused hard work. And so I, and the specific information. So I was always about like, hey, let's work with the advanced players. Because if I can take a guy who's been stuck at a master level but can't compete with the pros, and if I can take a shortstop player who's been like that for, you know, 8 years and give them, get them on the path and get them moving to where they start making progress again, like that's profound. That's like a huge, huge change for somebody who's obviously pool is a big part of their life. But then what I had some experiences where I worked with players that were lower level, and I'm not talking bad players. I'm just talking, you know, there's, I forget sometimes because I just play a lot of pro tournaments and, you know, I travel around and play top players. I forget how many tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. I don't even know how many valley tables are in different leagues and bars across the country to where there's people all over that are playing weekly leagues where, you know, the best players in the room are, you know, not, you know, like I had a guy that trained with me that he told me, he's like, where I come from, you know, it's pretty rare to see a table run. And so he plays in an eight ball league where most people get multiple turns per table. And that's just kind of the norm. And I was like, wow, you know, so for somebody that comes from a pool room like that, I got to ask, how are they going to improve? And so now they can watch pool on YouTube. They can watch pro players, but it's almost like it's got to be like, you know, you see this stuff where it's almost like you're watching these wizards on these YouTube things where they never miss. They run out from everywhere. And then you go to your local leagues and nobody's running a rack. And it's like, you know, that there's this other land that exists out there of great pool. But how the heck do you get there from here? And so I'm starting to realize that. And the picture that came to my mind is that a lot of pool players are trying to put together a puzzle. But not only are they missing a lot of pieces, they've never seen the front of the box. They don't even know what the puzzle should look like. And so what I'm realizing is a lot of these one days, if there's people, and I'm excited, I've got a few coming up, I'm very much looking forward to, where these people are league players that are trying to get to the top of their league and they're trying to be more consistent, or, you know, either more consistent table runners, or in a lot of cases, just learn to run the table in the first place. And I get excited because I'm like, look, I can not only show you what the game can look like, but show you what pieces need to come together and then compare that to your current game, highlight the pieces that are missing. And of course, we can't do all that in one day, but what we can do is figure out, okay, you know, it's just like anything else. If the building's burning and you've got 5 minutes to evacuate, you know, let's grab the family portraits and the kids' pictures and let's get out, right? You know, we got one day. I'm not going to, you know, teach them everything about pool in one day. But guess what we can do is we can say, hey, we've got 6 hours after, you know, we've got our assessment. And then let's, you know, we've got 6-8 hours to really shovel as many tools in your toolbox as you can. I can only pick 3 or 4 or 5. What do I think are the 5 tools that I can add to your game right now to send you home a better player? And so far, I've chosen wisely. Like if I was Indiana Jones at the end of the movie, I'm not going to be the guy that shrivels up into that little skeleton.
Is this a bad time to tell you I've never seen an Indiana Jones movie?
That's okay. That's a good one. You should go watch that one.
So I can wrap up our discussion with this kind of last question. What has some of your students actually gotten out of? I'm sure you keep in contact with some people that you've had as a student in the past, and what have they learned, and then what have kind of they've taken away from it, and what has that meant to their game?
Okay, that's an exciting question to answer because I'm really, you know, skeptical. I'm a skeptical hippo is skeptical. I tend to, you know, there's no shortcuts at pool, right? It's, you know, it's hard work and grit, and I tend to believe that, you know, hey, you just figure it out and you make it work. And, you know, what's this instructor? And what's this guy I saw on the DVD? And what's this guy with this, you know, he's got some aiming system. And I, you know, I'm usually very, very, very skeptical. And so even, even though I knew, like, okay, I know what I'm providing to people. I know what I'm providing. I know it's far, far beyond the price tag that I'm charging. But even though I know all that, see, there's always part of me that's like, but it still hinges on them and their execution and their engagement. And so part of me has always been like, are they really, really getting the lift? I mean, is this, the last thing I'm going to do is, you know, go into some business where I'm, you know, taking people's money and they're going home. And then a week later, you know, some placebo effect where they're super excited while they're here. And then a week later, they're nothing changed. And so I've really been following up with the people that I've worked with. And fortunately, I'm right, which is that this is not a magic bullet. It's not, because it's not like something where some secret sauce. It's actually just structured, focused, hard work. And so it's not surprising that it makes changes, but it is surprising in the sense of all those other things don't work. So all the people that, you know, they're right to be skeptical, because, you know, getting a new shaft or getting a new brake cue or learning and holding your wrist differently. Like, yeah, I mean, all that stuff, it's like, you're right. Most of that stuff is not going to just quick fix your game. So, but just because of that, it makes sense that when you have targeted, you know, guided hard work that leads to breakthroughs, new information, new techniques, and then a plan on how to assemble that and use that strategically, it makes sense that it works. But I guess the reason I haven't answered your question is because I'm still blown away by the fact that there are things you can do to elevate your pool game, you know? And so, you know, in a sea of dead ends, there are some paths. And so some of the things that have just happened, the gentleman I worked with last month, you know, it's only been, you know, a few weeks, and he texted me that he played an open tournament against players tougher than he's, you know, ever beaten before. And he beat a player that he's never been able to take a set off of before. And then he took another player that he's never been able to beat, and it took him to Hill. And he said that the difference in his play was night and day. Another guy, the first student I worked with, I remember he just told me that he's actually going to Vegas because, he won his division of his league to where he's playing for the state, the state title for his leagues, and has a chance to go to Vegas. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm already giving him credit for the win. But then beyond that, he showed me a picture of his MVP patch. When he trained with me, he was one of the weaker players on his team. And apparently he's been dominating, and their league was, they were at the top of their league, and he was voted MVP. And so that was pretty exciting. And then another gentleman I worked with, you know, just tells me that people have just been walking up to him and telling him, you know, how, like, what have you been doing? Like, your game, you look really smooth. You look really crisp. Like you're hitting the balls really good. And he's been getting feedback and things like this. So I know that it's not just in my head. Like, it's happening where the rubber hits the road. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. So seem to have a pretty good track record then.
Yeah, I've got no doubts. I have always been nervous that somebody's going to show up and I'm going to watch them play and I'll be like, hey, you know what? You play good. I don't know what to tell you, but that has not been the case. The fact is, it's not that they don't play good. Okay. It's just that I look at how they play and I can see it. I just can't say it enough. You know, there's so much information out there on pool, on YouTube and on forums and on books and all these things. And so, you know, in theory, somebody could just go digest it all and then travel around the country and play top players and figure it out. But in reality, a lot of people just have, they're focused on the wrong areas. They've got the wrong, they're putting an effort in the wrong areas. And so, you know, it seems like where I can really help is I go to the bookshelf and I take one book off the bookshelf and I turn to one chapter and I show them the one thing that they needed to know. And then we spend hours together incorporating that into their game. And it makes a difference. So, yeah.
So that wraps up everything that you had.
Yeah, that's, I appreciate you having me on. I'm hoping to, you know, meet some of your listeners. And so if anybody's interested, once again, www.mnpoolbootcamp.com. February's booked up as of this is middle of January right now, but I am still got some slots for March and April. And so I'd like to get those filled in and get this show on the road. Let's, you know, I'll tell you one funny story. I'll end with one last story is I remember I was walking downstairs to eat my dinner and I had a plate of food and a drink And I got downstairs and the door was shut to my room. And so I had to open the door. And now normally opening a door is not particularly difficult. You know, it's a doorknob, but you know, I got a plate of food in one hand and a fork and then this drink in my other hand. And I'm kind of stuck at this door. So I'm looking at this and I wasn't really paying attention. Here's the point. I wasn't really paying close attention. And so I try to like open the doorknob with my hand with the drink in it, but I didn't really have any fingers free. And then even when I kind of got a half a grip on it, if I started to turn my hand, then I'd spill my drink because it's, you know, it's liquid, right? And, you know, gravity. So I'm sitting there wrestling with this. And I'm not really paying attention. Then I try to shift around and use the hand that has the plate to see if I can wiggle that doorknob. And I'm sitting there. And next thing you know, because I was thinking about something else and I wasn't really in the present, I realized I'd been standing by the stupid door for probably 30 seconds like an idiot. And I'm like, this is not a problem that should stop me. Like, this is a door. Like, this is not like a, this is not a particularly large, you know, mountain to climb. And so all of a sudden I just gave it my full attention. I looked at the situation. I'm like, oh, I can handle this. And I put my drink down on the floor. I turned the doorknob and opened the door and I picked my drink back up. And I'm like, well, that was easy. And I just feel like it's so funny. I'll never forget that experience because it's like, I just feel like a lot of us, man, we're just dinking around with this when it's like, the real answer is right there, but we're just finicking, playing around and kind of like, you know, all this like half attention, half effort, you know, not really effective. And it's like, man, I guess where I'm at is, you know, whoever's listening, if, you know, if you haven't seen the progress you want to make in your pool game and this means something to you, that you want to get the most out of your pool game you can and actually, you know, make a run at the player you can be, then I'd say, time to put the drink down and open the door. So that's what I got.
Seems like good words to live by if you're trying to get good fast. Just undivided attention on getting a solution and executing it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can wrap this up there.
Demetrius, sounds great. Thank Nate, you for coming on. I really appreciate the invite, and I appreciate everybody that's listening. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and hope to meet some of you guys in the upcoming months.
Yes, and we, per our conversation we had earlier, you as the listener will probably be hearing more of Demetrius because he has volunteered to do a type of partnership with the podcast as far as coming on and giving us some of the breakdowns that he has, that he sees for matches and kind of things to look out for between different players in different matchups. So we can get the pro analytical breakdown of all the things. He's going to be our expert going forward.
I look forward to it. Nothing I love more than breaking down pool games. So.
Yeah. So the listeners, we can look forward to that. And I guess with that, I can get you out of here. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you very much, Nate. Have a great evening.
For the second half of this interview, I am actually going to bring on one of Demetrius's actual clients that he's had in the very near past. And I actually knew that, well, first off, Aaron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nate.
And Aaron has been a pretty loyal listener since the beginning. How many t-shirts do you actually have now?
Man, I tell you what, I have at least a closet full. I'm going to say I have six, but you know, I like buying them. I like supporting your show and I like getting the word out.
And on top of that, you actually just held up a banner at Hard Times Billiards. You purchased a banner for the Cue It Up podcast and you put it in the corner. I need to put that out on the social media page. I can't believe I haven't done that yet.
Why isn't that done yet? I keep looking to see it. Yeah. So Hard Times is now representing the show, which is great. Hard Times in Sacramento is a hub of some of the best pool players in California. So I feel honored that Oscar Dominguez said yes, he would love to have your banner up to get the word out about the great work you're doing.
I got to talk to you more often. I always feel like I'm doing way more than I am every time I talk to you. It's a good feeling. You give me way too much credit.
Well, we need more shows like yours. You know, pool is on a comeback. More and more people are playing. There's a new energy. And it shows like yours that are really bringing out the positive things that pool has to offer. So it's a unique show you provide, and I want my friends and family to hear about it. We need more listeners.
And I thank you for the great work that you've done to help me get the word out. Since I have met you, you are in no way, shape, or form scared to kind of spend some of your money to really put the investment into your game and to really get the best out of your game. You have bought a couple Revo shafts since I talked to you. You bought a Rush. You have spent a weekend with the Demetrius. You've also then booked another clinic coming up with Jerry Bryseth. With all of this that's going on, and really we want to highlight the Demetrius one here, what have you been getting out of all of this work that you've been putting into your game?
You've really been keeping good notes, Nate. I appreciate that. Well, yeah, when you say it like that, you're right. I have put a lot of time, not just money, but a lot of time and effort into really seeing what my potential is. I recently came back to pool in February of last year, so it hasn't even been a full year yet. I took about a 10-year, 9.5-year break. You know, I'm in my 40s. I have a son that's 25. And I had to step away from it. I had a family. I was working on my career. And pool became something that I just didn't have time to focus on. And I missed it. You know, I've been playing pool since I was a kid. It's something I did with my dad and my brother. And it was just a bonding thing that we did. And I became extremely passionate about it. And I played very competitively years ago. I had a casino sponsor me for a tournament and flew me to Vegas with my wife. I didn't do very well in the tournament, but I've always been passionate. And I'm in a stage in life now where I have the time, the money, the resources to really see what I'm capable of. I would say I'm probably a low A-level player, to be honest. I'm not great, but I love playing. And I'd never taken a lot of formal lessons before. I just did a lot of playing on feel. I didn't know exactly how to look at a shot and line it up correctly. I just went off of feel, and I was successful at it. But at this juncture in my life, coming back to pool, I wanted to really read and absorb as much information as I could to learn the correct fundamentals and learn the behind the scenes of why I'm hitting shots the way I hit them, not just how they feel. So I started in probably March of this year. I picked up Mark Wilson's book, Play Great Pool. I took a complete reset and said, I'm going to follow this book letter by letter, stroke, stance, grip, alignment, follow through, and just see where it leads me. And so that was the journey I started on. And I got hooked up with AZ Billiards on their forum, which is awesome. Learning about CTE, learning about aiming techniques, learning about what works for certain people and others. I discovered Dr. Dave and just spent hours and hours on his website, and I continue to. And in fact, I'm going to be flying out to spend a boot camp with him this July as well. So anyway, I'm throwing a lot of time and resources into learning to see how good I could get. And I'm excited about it. I came across Demetrius through AZ Billiards, and that's kind of how the journey of that began.
So let's actually talk about that then. I remember you reaching out to me earlier on, and you had kind of mentioned like, hey, do you know this Demetrius guy? He's kind of a neighbor to you. And I had heard of him, but I didn't really know a ton about what he was doing. I'm not an AZ Billiards guy. I don't spend any time on there. But you had talked very glowingly about what you were hoping to get out of this. And if you got probably half of what you were hoping to get out of it, it would have been really successful. Was the entire, venture of heading out there and learning from him for 3 days, what did you actually get out of it? And would you recommend that for anybody else with the same aspirations you have?
In three words, I would describe it as total pool immersion. I knew that when I was going to go out to meet Demetrius from our conversations and what from somebody else had posted on AZ Billiards of their experience, their 3-day one-on-one boot camp at his house. And he wrote a very detailed journal of what each day consisted of. And what interested me so much about it and what I found so unique was, here's an opportunity for a successful pool player who at the time, I think his Fargo rating was 741 or 742. He was ranked in the top 40 Fargo men in the United States for his playing ability. And here he is opening up his home, picking me up at the airport, having me stay at his house with him for 3 days, have 3 meals a day together, and spend all of our day talking about pool, playing pool, and really critiquing what I'm doing currently, where I'm at in my level of play, and highlighting what he felt was the most important issues to address to get my game to the next level. So going into to that adventure, you know, that once in a lifetime experience, which is truly what it was nothing short of truly amazing. So we can talk more about it in detail, but it was everything I thought it would be, and it was actually more.
Wow. So you definitely would recommend this in the future for anybody else who wants to have total pool immersion.
If you're looking for somebody that is completely dedicated to helping you improve your game and is willing to back it up by spending 14 hours a day on his 9-foot diamond table of going over your stroke, identifying safety play and how you can improve it, trying to make better positions going from shot to shot on pattern play, I really don't know if there's anyone out there that's much better. There, you may find somebody, but Demetrius is so articulate. He's intelligent. He's truly able to communicate what he sees and what he thinks you should do to improve your game. And coming back from that 3-day experience, just going back to hard times, and several of the people there knew I was going, but a lot of them didn't. I had 3 people come up to me the day after I returned and said, "What did you change with your stroke? It is so smooth." And that was the start of the discussion. So, yeah, I've seen my game improve. It's continuing to improve. It'll never be completely finished. It's a journey. You know, Demetrius describes it as walking down the yellow brick road. And the journey doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. It's day to day. You're going to come across scary things on the path. You're going to identify things you need to work on. And it's your decision of how you want to address them for which curve in the road comes next. And that's one of many of the takeaways I got from him.
Speaking of intelligent and very, very well-spoken, you're sneaky good on a podcast.
I'm passionate about learning of anything. My mind is a sponge. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited to share Demetrius. You know, when I called you and said, "I really think you need to get him on the show, he has a lot to offer," I think the listeners are going to find the same. And if you're not on AZ Billiards, you should take a look at his posts. It's not uncommon to see a 20-paragraph, highly articulate post of subject matter about the mental game of pool or a particular shot or a recent tournament he was in and what he encountered. So, yeah, check it out.
For sure. And if I remember right, I think his handle he said was the – do you know?
Tin Man.
Well, I guess I should ask one last question. You did not know Demetrius at all before you actually went out there.
I had no idea who he was. I had never read anything about him. It was just reading a 3-day journal blog entry that this guy wrote that went there. That was the first guy that went, I think, or one of the first. And – It sounded too good to be true. So, but it piqued my interest enough to call him and have about a 30-minute phone call. And I was convinced that it was worth the trek. It was worth the plane ride from California to Wisconsin. I'm sorry, to Minnesota. And it was a great experience.
So, Aaron, I will thank you for coming on again and giving your testimonial for this. I know I'm excited to be working with Demetrius in the future, too, with some exciting pool stuff with the podcast. So I'm glad that you not only went out and took this chance, but also turned me on to who he was as a person, too. So we both get to benefit now.
Awesome. Nate, thank you for having me on. Keep up the great work, man. You're doing good things.
Thanks, Aaron. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. If you like what you've heard and you listen through iTunes, please subscribe and leave a rating. It helps others find the podcast. As always, thank you to our sponsors, Jacoby Custom Cues, Cody's Q Therapy, Jeff Glaz's CBD for Life Global, the Wisconsin Billiards Hall of Fame, the Rocks Sports Bar and Grill, the IQ Practice Cue Ball, and the Wisconsin Pool Player Society. If you like what you hear, consider supporting the people who support the podcast. I would also like to take this time to thank Matt Kitzman, Robert Miller, Natasha, Kurt Elliott, Scott Doolian, Corey Smith, William Sutherland, and Mike Teasy for their help to market the podcast to a larger audience. Lastly, I would like to thank my cousin Andrew Mindham for his band Hey Captain Knight's music as segment and filler music to the podcast. If you like what you hear, you can find all of his music at heycaptainknight.bandcamp.com. And Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T.